Welcome to another episode on the Duan Marrero podcast. This is your host, Duan Marrero. Joining me today is the one and only Coach Steven Reynolds Jr. I know I cold called you the other day, and I know you was like, who the hell is this? But thanks for picking up my phone call, and it's a pleasure to have you on this morning.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. Anytime I can talk basketball and family and those kind of things, man, especially just being connected to Indiana and the more I've learned about you over the last couple of days, man, I'm excited about
you. Did some homework? Who you hit up?
Oh, no, I just got on your podcast, started listening to some stuff. And So it's been good.
I appreciate that. Been super fortunate to use this platform as like mentors and guidance and information to go back to an episode and be like, man, I remember when so-and-so said this.
Yeah.
And I can navigate whatever issues I have in life. And you came across my profile on Facebook, and I was follow you from afar. And you reminded me of Marvin Ray, who was my coach when I was at Bowman. He passed away. But we changed the narrative of being from Gary and going downstate and, you know, not doing it the norm as people wanted us to do, because we was a charter school and we was 1A, and then we moved up to 2A and went downstate. Talk about your journey as a coach, everything you kind of built in Indiana, being that successful coach, and tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, well, the first thing, man, all this started, it just came out of the love for my city. I am by nature very pastoral. I actually started out in the ministry when I got back from playing overseas, came back home and started a faith-based after-school program called Safe Haven. And actually, after playing overseas, I had kind of lost my vigor for basketball, man. Like, just getting into the business side of it, and I was struggling with some injuries, and I had just gotten married, and, you know, my first child, Mila, which we'll talk about later, you know, had come. But I was just really, just had a heart for kids and so on. So anyway, fast forward, man, ended up getting a job 10 years ago as head coach. I'll be going into my 10th year. And just kind of went from there, man, just really started focusing on that group, on the climate, on the atmosphere at my school, my community. I'm just getting focused on that kind of stuff, man. And it blew up on me, you know, just the more we sold and poured into it, my wife and I and our staff, and, you know, everything from a 4-win season to a state championship, man. And it's been good.
How did you know that you wanted to get into coaching? What was that bug that started it? Because as a former athlete myself, we necessarily don't want to be, I didn't want to be called coach, right? I'm like, man, I'm not a coach. And, you know, being a player, you got so many coaches who pissed you off. You're like, man, I don't want to get in there. And now you see yourself, you know, a decade later as a coach.
Yeah, I was inspired by my children, man. I'll never forget, man. Mila, who's my oldest, she's at Purdue. Now I'm a baseball head too. People don't know that. So I was also that guy in high school, man, where I had this girl I liked, and, you know, she liked me, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm 16 years old or something. She invited me to a girls' basketball game. So I'm that guy, right? I'm like, man, I ain't coming to no girls' basketball game, you know, that kind of thing. Like, so that's where I started, you know, 30 years ago with that kind of mindset. But having children changes everything, man. And we had started teaching my first three of the seven play softball. And that's what we were doing. We're teaching them softball. And, you know, I taught myself how to pitch and taught Mila how to do it, and kind of went from there. But, man, one day I remember waking up in the morning to a ball bouncing in the kitchen. My wife was cooking breakfast and Mila was in there bouncing the ball. And I'm looking at my wife, who also played overseas. I'm like, man, ain't no way we cannot not teach the kids how to hoop, you know, like, and it just went from there, man.
Man, that's dope. Talk about the recruiting process, man. Before then, it wasn't around the digital social media age. It was word of mouth. Even when you was coming up, right? It was like, man, you had to be there to see. It wasn't a camera there.
Right.
But Mila was going through a recruiting process. What was that like for you, kind of going back if you could remember the things you learned from your first week.
My recruiting process personally was a blur. Like, my senior year at Riley High School, I knew I had some mid-major interest, Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, Northern Illinois, that kind of stuff. But, man, my parents didn't know nothing about basketball. My coach, who was a great coach, didn't really let me in on the process. Like, I remember letters coming to the house. I was excited about that, you know, but, you know, there was no cameras. There was no camps and no, there was nothing. You know, I just ended up in junior college. I went out to Treasure Valley Community College. I thought I was going to go to Weber State. I don't know if you remember a cat named Harold Arsenault. Okay. When Weber State went to the Sweet 16, I think it was 98 or 99, and I was going to replace him, basically. So they're going to keep me in JUCO, but I wanted to come back home. There were some unfortunate circumstances for me where I wanted to play in front of my family. But anyway, earned a deal to go to Western Michigan. I had a really good career there. But now, man, even on the girl side, which I'm just starting to experience the boys with Steven.
Right.
But with Mila, man, you know, these girls are getting offers before they started eighth grade. Like, that was wild to me. Like super wild. And so, you know, we had Indiana, we had, you know, Purdue in the gym, we had Michigan, you know, Notre Dame was lurking at the time. Like, it was a real eye opener, man. And what it did as a father, it made me speed up some of these conversations, man, just about character and work ethic and you know, everything, man. Like, even stuff we believed was being challenged, you know, like, you know, I wanted my daughter to have healthy relationships, you know, I wanted her to have a healthy marriage, you know, with a man. I mean, like stuff like that, you know, like, it was crazy, you know. You know, these girls were staying overnight places, and
right,
girls was wild, and it was crazy, man. So it sped up that part for us.
That's awesome. I saw the transition from, you know, Maryland to Purdue. What is it like for you to, you know that she's close to home now? You could just drive up and catch a game rather than driving all the way to the East Coast.
Yeah. She, you know, there's a lot of stuff she had to learn. You know, there's a lot of stuff we had to help her with, you know, being that far away from home, man. Because, you know, I remember when she left, those first couple months were really rough for her. And I told her it should be. Like, you came from a good family. Like, it's going to be tough being on your own, that kind of stuff. But anyway, came back home. Some things, honestly, I felt on her end she needed to adjust and do. And some things, you know, I felt on Maryland's end, you know, could have been different. But we feel good about all of it, man. You know, I'm glad she's back home playing with Amaya at Purdue. And she's a dog, man. She's going to compete for sure.
Man, how many state champions have you won?
So so in this 3-year span, we got to the state championship, got a runner up to Silver Creek. Uh-huh. Then we ended up playing them. It was the first time in history to have been a rematch at the 3A level. So we ended up scraping them, man, the next time we played them. And then this last year, man, we were 27-0 going into the semi-state, man. And my daughter, Amaya, suffered a Liz Frank injury.
Wow.
It's Chet, people most know about, you know, it's the kind of thing that Chet Holmgren's going through. And we end up losing to a really tough Lake Central team by 5 in semi-state. So, you know, we had a nice little run those 3 to 4 years.
What was the when you edged Silver Creek and you won? What was that feedback and criticism like for you? Because I remember going downstate and 1A, and a lot of my teammates, we were an AAU team called the Gary Falcons, and then we all went to the same charter school because our coach ended up taking a job at Bowman Academy. Mm-hmm. And so we all decided to go to one school. But in Indiana, the rules are different. You only could take like 2 to 3 kids and coach them on your AAU team.
Right, right.
So we decided to just not have an AAU team. And we end up going to Gym Rats and spreading out within that program. But we end up going downstate that second year after losing against Black Hawk Christian, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
But we beat Indiana's favorite, which was Bar Reeve. We beat them by 30. Being a team from Gary, Indiana, going down state, we took a lot of heat because they said we were unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah, man.
What was some of that criticism you received, and how did you process all that to make sure you try to stay professional?
You're trying to get me in trouble, man. I have all kinds of thoughts about that, but it's a real thing.
I went through it, you know.
Yeah, like, it's North against the South. You know, it's those kids against those kids. It's public against private. It's, you know, it's young Black girls against the world type stuff. And we've experienced it, man. Just through refs, through just the stance towards, you know, what we were doing up here. And we talked about it. Like, we had open conversations about, you know, with the parents, with the kids, like, just to prepare them. Like, listen, we set out to win. Like, we're right. going to win. So there's things that when we go places, we can and can't do, you know. But anyway, we just got them together, man. We set the record straight, and we just tried to focus on basketball, focus on loving each other, focus on supporting each other, you know, those kind of things. But no, it's a real thing. It is. It really is.
Again, man, it's challenging. It has its own challenges, but I think what makes it so much more special is when you have a great foundation around you to navigate those hurdles going downstate.
Yeah, and if I can say this too, man, like.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even like in recruiting, man, like, you know, I hear, you know, and I know you have to separate, especially when you're talking about college and people talking about their brand and all this other kind of stuff, man. Listen, I coach out of public school on the west side of South Bend. All right.
Right.
And so when I'm out, you know, I'm hearing about, there'll be tweets and stuff like that about, you know, body language and how you carry yourself on the court and stuff, man. And, you know, and I've always wanted to say this, bro. The thing is these kids, man, have embedded in their foundation, or maybe not embedded in their foundation, but there's things these kids are going through and they have to navigate and so on. And right. if you're worried about protecting your brand and your image, sometimes these ain't the kids you want to work with. But I'm going to tell you what, man, I think the biggest things we show, I could probably say this, in Indiana, my team probably has the worst body language, all right? Like, but it didn't stop us from winning. It didn't stop us from being a family. It didn't stop us from supporting each other or building a brand. You know, people around here have supported us and loved us, but on the court, sometimes we struggle. Like, sometimes my best players get down on themselves. You know, they're trying to please their parents. You know, some of our kids think this is the only way out of their situation. So it's a lot for them to carry, and sometimes it shows up in their body language. Like, it's what's up, man? This is my man Tristan right here.
Tristan, what's up, big dog? Pops potting with me.
So. Right. So we're going to front. All right. Love you. But you know, we work with them. You know, it's not like we don't address it. No, we have practice. They run for it. You know, all that kind of stuff. But man, I'm telling you, man, it's. I mean, God help me, but it's just overrated, man. I mean, these kids are working. They are trying their best, but they don't act a certain way or do certain things a certain way. Then they get written off. Man, that's crazy. Like, to me, if I'm an adult and I got a kid who wants to be good, who genuinely wants to turn their life around or have improved character or whatever it is, you know, I'm going to turn my back on them because they pout two times a game. Like, to me, that's crazy. So, again, part of what I enjoyed about South Bend, Washington is, and I think, and it rubbed some people the wrong way, is we had all those problems. I mean, we had problem after problem, but we were still kicking people's butts. And I didn't care what it looked like, bro. Like, I just, hey, let's just focus. Let's do the best we can.
We get a lot of criticism when you make these runs because it's rare. And people hate new, right? Humans just hate to see just new, and you see this team and they're continue to be dominant and they don't take their foot off the gas.
Yeah.
I experienced it again going down. Like, they moved us an extra class because we were running through 1A.
Yeah.
And we get to Park Tudor, which was Yogi Ferrell and Trayvon Blewett, and they won. They beat us. But then they move Bowman up to 3A. So you take a school from Gary, and they go from 1A to 3A, and then go to state runner-up in 3A.
Yeah.
And then only thing that they see is how we produce, like perform on the floor, but they don't know the challenges that we go through off the floor to get to this point. And the only thing they're judging you on is an hour and a half. And sometimes it's bigger than that moment, because a lot of those kids never and probably will never get to that point again in regards of winning a state championship per se.
I
totally understand you. And man, I wanted to know your thoughts about the Run for Roses. And what was your thoughts? Because my team was there. They were putting it on social. And it's one of my favorite events. I was on the road for 9 days. I had to cover Pete's Jam and Under Armour. But I want to know your thoughts for Runs for Roses.
Yeah, that's a broad question. So, I mean, personally, you know, watching Kira play and seeing her with Legends U, that kind of thing, man, like, you know, that was amazing. You know, just how the setup and so on. And it was good to see them compete, you know, and continue to win, get that opportunity to play on ESPN, and then, you know, be able to showcase, you know, some of those things that, you know, she had worked for, that they had worked for, then ultimately to come out with the championship. That's cool, you know. But Run for the Roses, man, shoot. If I talk for – I wear many hats, right?
I mean, shit, we didn't even get to Steven yet, right? Like, your phone's going up. You have a top recruit in the country, right, with Kyra. And then you got Steven coming up. Your phone's blowing up. So, yeah, elaborate as much as you want.
Yeah, man, like, so considering even Run for the Roses, like, even as a parent, man, I I'm sharing this because I have a understanding of your audience too, man. But if you're a parent during travel, like, we have seven kids, bro. And all seven play, like, all of them. We've been fortunate enough that, you know, they've been very blessed, you know, whatever, genetic lottery, whatever, but they all play. And, man, I mean, before we stepped foot in that arena to watch the games, man, I felt like I had spent all my money. Like, it was crazy. Like, I'm on basically a teacher's salary, and I coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And it's crazy, man. Like, travel ball is not for the faint of heart, which is why I'm going to get into what I talked about earlier, but or later, but like with Steven. So Mila, Amaya, and Kira, we played EYBL, we've done independent, we've done just, you know, obviously school ball, that kind of thing. And it's been quite the sacrifice, emotionally, spiritually, financially, and so on. So anyway, one of the things we did with Steven, I remember watching the kids, man, and we'd be out weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend, either traveling to Detroit or traveling to Columbus or traveling somewhere to practice. If we weren't at practice, we was traveling somewhere to play. And I remember watching the man being like, you know, as a coach and as a training them.
Right.
Dang, like, when are we going to be able to fix that? You know, like,
right.
Just, and people say all the time, man, I wish I could just get back in the gym. I wish I could just get back in the gym. But you'd be kind of scared to do it because, you know, you're out here running around. You done paid whatever, however. You know, I heard some people paying $1,200, $1,500 a year, you know, just to do these tournaments, and then you play in hotels and all that. So, and then when you get out of it, you know, it's hard. So this year, man, with Steven, we decided not to even start. Like, we was like, listen, we know what he needs to work on. You know, we're fortunate enough to be his trainers. We have a gym. So we actually took the spring off, man, and kind of reassessed some things, kept them in the gym, had them playing against some grown men, got them in the weight room, start trying to build his work ethic, and that kind of thing. And so he basically disappeared off the radar for a minute, even after being, you know, ranked number one in the state, you know, that kind of thing, whatever, you know, comes with that. So he doesn't show up basically till June, when it's high school month. Right. And I was even a little nervous, like, okay, you know, we just took the spring off. Like, nobody does that, right? And he shows up, man. Michigan State shows up. Indiana shows up. Ohio State shows up. And I'm like, whoa. And he balled out. Like, he just put it together. But one thing I could really tell with him is it was fresh. Like he was excited to get back out there. And that's something I think you lose sometimes when you're just playing all the time. You don't care if you lose. You just want to go hoop, you know, but there's no real excitement or vigor behind it. And, you know, he had it. We saw it.
How would you describe his game? And I'll let you know my thoughts of watching his 2-minute video. I observed it because I do so much film, and I know that if I was to scout him, I wouldn't want to go under the screen because he showed and he showed he could attack the gaps, and you know he has that calm face, and I'm like, his brother light skin,
yeah, right.
man, he's an assassin out here. Like, yeah. I'm like, who's this kid? And talking amongst my peers in the media space, I feel like, man, like, it's hard to really just scout him, really, because he's so effective right now. And he's playing with a tremendous pace that I've observed. Like, he has really great pace. And his three ball, his range is crazy right now. Is that what you guys worked on, or did his range come naturally, you would say?
So, Steven, you know, I played overseas for 2 years, all right? Played professionally, that kind of thing. And this guy is more talented than I've ever been. And the thing with him, man, is he's extremely smart. His basketball IQ is ridiculous. Listen, and I knew it would be. I remember when he was 6 or 7, Tristan's age, and Tristan does the same thing, his younger brother. He was having full conversations with me on his all-time five, right? And he's growing up in the LeBron, D-Wade era, all that kind of stuff.
That's his GOAT.
But he's talking.
That's his GOAT. What's that? Is LeBron his GOAT or Paul?
Yeah.
Hey, I've been hearing the young kids say Paul George the GOAT, and, you know. Yeah,
but listen, he is a student of the game. Even then, at 7 to 8 years old, he's talking about asking me why Kareem isn't a part of this discussion. He's asking me about Bill Russell, and he's asking me about all these guys. I'm like, dude, like, he's watching YouTube videos of the old heads, the guys that are pulling up, you know, because if you watch them too, it's deadly mid-range. But he knows who Vinny Johnson is, Joe Dumars, Michael Jordan, how he killed in that mid-range. I mean, like, he's just has had that thing. And, of course, he's from a basketball family. But, man, you sit down with that kid and you have a conversation, man, it's like talking to a grown man, you know. So God has gifted him that. You know, that's cool. But, you know, he's 6'5 right now. Loves the game, range, mid-range. You know, we try to do all three levels, that kind of thing. And we also talk about a fourth level, which we feel like has gotten lost in the game, back to the basket. You know, so yeah, I can get downhill and score, but can you get me something in the pinch post, in the mid post, in the low post, back to the basket? So we developed that part of it too. Very intentional.
What position is he, you would say? Is he a three, a combo?
Right now he's a combo. I would love for him to be a point guard. I mean, he's 6'5". One guy I'm really looking at right now is Shafino, that just got drafted by the Lakers that play with Indiana.
Yeah, one of my favorite players.
He's 6'5", 6'6". Man, we watched him play live at Purdue and just fell in love with his pace. And we literally have a Shafino workout. Like, he knows what it is. Like, just working on pace and pick and roll. And you know, in the level he's playing at, he's going to be on the court with dudes 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". So,
right.
But he shoots the ball so well. So it's like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's dope. And again, he came across my Twitter timeline, and I'm like, man, bro got a lot of pace to him in South Bend. Yeah. But you wear so many hats, man. You know, how do you stay balanced? Do you ever get to turn it off? I don't think you do, but correct me if I'm wrong, but you always going. And how do you find that balance if you do?
Well, I have a great wife, man. I've been married 21 years, this past May 25th. And, you know, people talk about balance all the time. And this is a philosophy we ascribe to, is there's no such thing as balance. Like, you can't. Like, America expects you to work 40 hours a week, somehow take care of your kids, be a good husband, and, you know, serve other people, coach. And what? Like, you got 168 hours a week, man. It's not happening. You're not going to be balanced or even or fair. So what we ascribe to is rhythm. Like, we got to have a good rhythm. So, you know, I'm a music head. I love music, right? And when the rhythm is off, you don't have good music. And that's all we're trying to do, man. We're trying to make good music, trying to have a good rhythm. So sometimes, you know, I'll be like, hey, Marcy, you got Jordan, Aubrey, and Tristan. That's our youngest three, you know. Right. And she'll take them to the gym. And later on, you know, when Steven and Kira get back home or whatever, I'll take them. If, you know, we need to go be with the kids at Purdue, I'll go to Purdue and Marcy will go with Kira to her AAU thing or whatever it is. So, like, we just try to make good music, man. We just try to find good rhythm.
Man, I appreciate you sharing. I'm in a hip hop group chat right now, and I was playing Jeezy back in the early 2000s. I'm in the class of 2012, but my guys, we love Jeezy from the early 2000s. And right. I'm a huge fan of Drink Champs. And I was listening to Tony Ayo on with Nori talk about G-Unit back in the early era of 2000s when they used to beef with everybody.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm definitely in tune. And again, your energy rubbed off on me when I saw you on Facebook and reading your headlines and articles. And I appreciate you just coming on here. Just, you know, this would be one of many podcasts that we have, but I wanted this to be the introduction of us building our relationship, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us on, man. Anytime I get a chance to tell a story, especially the real story.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's my audience. Like, I cater to Gary, Indiana, and people that's coming up in grassroots, right? Yeah. And because it's hard, right? Yeah. A lot of the newer coaches and a lot of people who are think they know all the answers but never been through it try to give advice.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And a lot of kids get sent off. So if I could use this platform to give out information so they could have some awareness and what to look for, you know, I think I'm doing my part on this earth.
No doubt. Yeah, that's a grind, man.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Yeah, thank you.